that leads us to repentance, that therefore ultimately we might find joy. Again, if God did not love us, he would not at times break us. But because he loves us, he disciplines us, exposes us, and allows our bones to be broken that we might get low before him, walk with a limp, and then find joy in Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Live in the Light today. Listeners, we are so grateful to have you with us here as we are in a message of our new series focusing on the great prayers of the Bible. Again, this isn't a series on how to pray, but we are digging into examples of great prayers found in Scripture. Today we are in Psalm 51, and I would venture to say that David's prayers are some of the most well-known prayers in Scripture. Hey, wouldn't you say, Robbie?
I would, and I am excited about this series, Shannon. Again, great prayers of the Bible. I like what Shannon said, too. This isn't a series on how to pray, again, but it's an example of looking at some really fantastic prayers actually uttered by God's saints, again, throughout Scripture. So we pray that you will be inspired in your prayer life as we seek to go through some excellent content and some really, really amazing passages that will appeal to our faith as we seek the Lord in prayer. Prayer is everything. You know, around our church, we say without prayer, we're dead. Why? Because prayer is dependency upon the Lord. And specifically today in Psalm 51, this is a powerful psalm of David's repentance and confession. You likely know it well. What we pray will be received on your heart with fresh application and fresh appreciation for where he was and his deep cry out to the Lord of wash me clean and let me hear joy and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Such a beautiful passage. So Shannon, I'm excited for the series. I'm excited for today. And I pray the Lord will use it in every single person listening right now.
Agree with you on that, Robbie. Hey, listeners, if you are looking for a blessing from the Lord, if you want to learn what genuine repentance looks like, then you are in the right spot. So open your Bibles with me to Psalm 51, and we will start in verse 7. So here's Pastor Robbie with a prayer for renewal.
Our sermon title today is a prayer for renewal. Just like last week, it's hard to overstate how important the themes that we're addressing this day and last week, how close they are to the heart of God. God cares so much about what we're speaking on this day. This message is for all today. Like, absolutely, it's for all, but it's in some ways specially designed towards men. Again, it's for all, and you'll see that. I mean, who doesn't need renewal in the Lord? But it is definitely directed towards men being on Father's Day. And men, just right off the bat, like the pathway that's in front of you today in this text from Psalm 51 is absolutely 100% guaranteed a path of blessing. It's a pathway to God. So therefore, it's a call to wisdom. Men, but everyone, women, children, like, you got to listen today, because if you choose to walk this path outlined in Psalm 51, verses 7 to 12, again, it is guaranteed to be a pathway to blessing. And there's nothing like the blessing of the Lord. Many of us know this. Let me just say, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, Psalm 51, its context is David's sin with Bathsheba, his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah. This sin with Bathsheba led to David wanting to cover up this sin, so he ended up orchestrating the death, the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. And David was then confronted by Nathan, the prophet. And David, because he was a man after God's own heart, he messed up. I'm so thankful the Bible gives us examples, not of perfect people, but of messed up people who make mistakes, who need the Lord just as much as you and I do. Because David was a man after God's own heart, he messed up big time. And he was a fool, and his sin was wrecking him. But when he was confronted, he did not excuse, he did not rationalize, He immediately was massively struck with repentance. He fell to the floor. He wept. And now he is desperately desiring renewal in the Lord, begging God for forgiveness, which he will find, wanting so much grace, which he will receive, and pleading God for mercy, which he will be given. This is the context of what is probably the most well-known psalm in Scripture for this reason. In verses 1-6, the Lord, through David, is laying a foundation of confession and repentance. Now, why? Why is that so important, the foundation of confession through repentance? Here's why. Because before any great work of God will be seen, there must be genuine confession and repentance. Why is repentance so critical in our lives and before God? Because repentance cultivates the soil of our hearts. One of my university jobs, I worked in some landscaping. And I just, again, even before I was saved, just the idea of cultivating hard soil. You take the cultivator and you break up the hard soil, it turns it over, and then the hardness and the crustiness goes away, and it unveils the soft soil ready for planting and health. That's what repentance does to the hard heart, to the calloused heart, to the obstinate heart, the stubborn heart. True repentance, it turns over the hardness of our hearts and produces a soil where the seeds of the Holy Spirit can find and be planted and then ultimately bear fruit. This is the beauty of repentance. Repentance also leads to brokenness. And brokenness, listen, in biblically and Bible definition is absolutely irresistible to God. If you look at Psalm 51, even verse 17 right now, God is telling us, this is such a key verse, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. This is what David knows in the midst of his own sin and his own, again, mess of his life. God, if my sacrifices are a broken and contrite spirit, God, that is irresistible to you. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So repentance and confession, which we all need ongoing in our lives, is an incredible pursuit of a brokenness which God just loves. He loves so much. It means so much to him because there he finds a man or a woman or a child that I can use, he says, and who is surrendered and not proud but humble and wanting so much to see God and love God and be filled with God. This is why, men, again, like today, I speak to you on Father's Day as I speak to everyone here. Listen, as long as we resist the path of repentance and brokenness, we resist God himself. And if we resist God, we resist his blessing, we resist his joy, we resist his strength, we resist his favor. And that is why some of us here for so many years have not known the true favor of God, because we've never been truly broken and renewed in him. That's why today is so massive. You find me a man or woman in history who's been blessed of God, who hasn't learned the value and the beauty of brokenness. You will not find them because they don't exist. Every man or woman used of God pursues this path in one way or another. Let me say this today too, and this is for those who have faith and for those who are filled with wisdom today. Today's subject is so much more important than your career. It is so much more important than your finances. Today's subject is so much more important than your physical health. And it's even more important than your family. It is so much more important than all those things that we put so many eggs in those baskets. Because when you get a heart that is right before the Lord, then everything else in your life begins to be impacted by the Holy Spirit of God. But see, that the person who believes that is the person who believes God. And the person who's wise and filled with faith and said the ways of God are not the ways of man. It's the person who understands, and today especially the man who understands, when my heart is right and real and broken before the Lord, then I am in the place of the will of God and I am pursuing with passion and with urgency the very blessing of God. This is what David learned through his massive mistakes and sinful, again, tragic moves he made, and yet he knew God was not done with him. And if God was not done with David, he's not done with you either. Psalm 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, God. Blot out all my iniquities. And verse 10 is really our key verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Yes, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renovate a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. God, we need your Holy Spirit so much. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, O God, and uphold me with a willing spirit. I mean, what a prayer for renewal. David in his brokenness, David in his devastation, David in being ruined in his own sin, and now this massive prayer for renewal. God, work in our midst and change our lives. Notice David's prayer as we pick this up. Number one, please, O Lord, wash me clean. Please, O Lord, wash me clean. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop was a bush that was used in the Old Testament for the ceremonial cleansing of lepers. Just as a priest would take hyssop and sprinkle the leper seven times, declaring him to be clean, David here says, oh God, you must purge me of my sin. God, you must wash me again of my sin. Because God, when you wash me, the text, he says, I shall be whiter than snow. What a beautiful image that is. I know it's hard to think of snow in June. But what is more pure in nature than the whiteness of snow? And yet David says, God, if you wash me, I will be whiter than snow. I think the hymn we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. I mean, I guess the hymn should be correctly said. It's not quite correct. Who washes whiter than snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Now think, church, why does David need to be cleansed? Because his sin has made him filthy. That's why. His sin has stained him and ruined him. This is why I hate sin. And this is why you should hate sin too. Sin brings misery. Sin places filth all over us. Sin ruins us. It stains us. And here is David desperately wanting to be clean from the sin that has devastated him and his life. And we come here today, again, in this sense, in this massive issue, this is such an important topic, we say, please, Lord, take our sin and cleanse us. Take our pride. Take our sexual sin. Take our perversion. Take our greed. Take our lust. Take our bitterness. Take our anger. Take our unforgiveness. Take our selfishness. Take our vanity. Take our idolatry. Take our jealousy. Take our hate. Take our materialism. Take our envy. Take our profanity. Take our drunkenness. Take our hypocrisy. Take our laziness. Take our self-righteousness. Oh God, cleanse us of our sin. As David says in verse 2, cleanse me, God, of my sin. I'm so thankful for David's authenticity here and his genuineness of his plea, his sincerity and his honesty. Remember, this is not a psalm of David saying, God, save me. It's a psalm of David saying, God, cleanse me. And please notice too, David is not, God, cleanse her, cleanse him. He's cleansed me. He's like, I'm the problem, God. I need to be washed. He's not blaming people around him. He's not focused on others. He knows he needs to get right with God. Some here right now, stop focusing on people around you. Enough with the excuses, the rationalizations. Enough with the distractions and the deflections. Stop blaming others. You, me, before God as individuals. God, wash me. You can't change them. You can change you. In terms of responsibility and ownership, God, I need you to wash me and create in me a clean heart. What a prayer of renewal. It starts with wash me clean. Secondly, God, let me hear joy. Verse 8, let me hear joy. Let me hear joy and gladness of the bones that you have broken. Rejoice. Isn't this amazing, eh? David now is anticipating the blessing of a clean heart. What's the blessing of a truly clean heart of God? It's a heart packed with joy. Let the bones that you have broken, God, rejoice. But let's just stop there for a second. Let the bones that you have broken, what is this? This is the effects of sin. Psalm 32, all the commentators agree this is the exact same context as Psalm 51, David's sin with Bathsheba. Look what David says about the impact of sin. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, O God. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Let's put some commentary in on here. Okay, notice this. When I kept silent, meaning when I did not repent of my sin. When I let my sin go unchecked. When I kept silent, I began to waste away. My bones, the inner parts of my body began to waste away. That is the effects when we do not confess our sin. It eats us out from the inside out. Through my groaning all day long, sin brings misery. Oh, when is this going to end? Why can't I get freedom? Because we don't confess our sin. Your hand was heavy upon me. When we go and we're not confessing our sin, God loves us too much to let us stray. So he places us under conviction. And we feel the weight of it, don't we? Because we know we're not right with God. And some of us here right now, this is us right now, right here in Orangeville Overflow in this room right now. The weight of God, because he loves you. He loves you, so he presses down upon you. If he didn't love you, he'd be like, go ahead, ruin your life. But he loves you, so we feel conviction and the weight of it. And because he loves us, when we don't confess our sin, our strength is dried up like the heat wave of a summer. The heat wave's coming on this week. You go outside in humidity and it just saps your strength and you feel exhausted and wasted. That's what unconfessed sin does in our lives. This is why we need to be washed and cleansed and renewed. And this is why David says that the bones that you have broken, rejoice. But see, sin, this is so important. Sin clogs our spiritual drain. For many of us, because of sin in our lives that has not been dealt with biblically, we are desperate for God's strength, blessing, and power, and we're so thirsty, but there's a drip, like just a drip, like on our tongue. It's a drip, but God wants to turn on a fire hose by his design. But we are in a place where the tap has essentially been turned off, and we're sitting there. Why, God, why? Because the sin has not been dealt with. So there's no joy, and instead there's misery, and there's exhaustion. And we have no clear conscience and we're running around trying to pretend we're someone who we're not. That is exhausting. I want to remind us, I would be unfaithful to this text right now if I don't remind us again the context of David's plea and desperation for renewal is his sin, specifically sexual sin. And sexual sin is one of the greatest devastations of our society and has been throughout human history. The sin of sexual lust, the sin of idolatry and things of sexual nature, of promiscuity, of pornography. The reality is, in this room, there's been many people this week, and whoever's watching, many people this week, you have believed the lie again that your pursuit of lust and sexual sin and pornography and whatever it might be is going to lead to joy. That's the world says, it's going to lead to joy. God says to you today, you are being lied to. It leads to misery in the end. You just ruin yourself and everyone around you. That is the truth. There are many of us here right now, though. This has been our week. This has been our last 2 days. This has been last night. And because the Lord loves you so much right now, he says, you are believing a lie. If you believe that the pursuit of sexual sin is going to lead you to joy, it will not, it will never, it cannot. It ruins lives wholesale. David right here is the first one saying, God, wash me. God, purge me. God, cleanse me. God, renew me. I thought it was the path to joy. It's not. You, Jesus Christ, are the path to joy. It's amazing you're David here. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Where is David getting the sense of let me hear joy and gladness? He's hearing joy and gladness are found where? In forgiveness. Joy and gladness are found in the cleansing of our hearts. Joy and gladness are found when my conscience is clear before the Lord. I'm not hiding. I'm not double-minded. I'm not being, again, one person here, one person there. Again, I'm an open book before God and others. That is joy. Do not pretend to live one life, to be a man of integrity, a woman of holiness. That brings joy. This is why repentance is so powerful. Because sin places a weight, forgiveness releases the weight. Sin shrouds us in darkness, forgiveness ushers in light. Sin brings misery, forgiveness brings joy. Sin estranges us from God, forgiveness restores us to God. And all of these begin with the path of humility and repentance before the Lord. Notice in our text too, in verse 8, notice David says that the bones, God, that you have broken. Interesting, sometimes the Lord allows our bones to be broken. Sometimes God breaks our bones. Why? Because he knows that it's brokenness that humbles us, that reorients us, that leads us to repentance, that therefore ultimately we might find joy. Again, if God did not love us, he would not at times break us. But because he loves us, he disciplines us, exposes us, and allows our bones to be broken that we might get low before him, walk with a limp, and then find joy in Jesus Christ. The ways of God are not the ways of man, and at times he broke the bones of David because he loved him. And he will break our bones too because he loves us. If he did not love us again, he would let us go off into our path of self-destruction and sinful pursuits. Please, O Lord, let me hear joy. Thirdly, please, O Lord, create in me a clean heart. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Notice David says, create in me a clean heart. God, you must create. God, you create. A heart is not cleansed by religious behavior or secular psychology. A heart is cleansed only by God, not by our effort. God creates out of nothing. So the Lord does not take some of us to be, hey, God, here I'm bringing you, you know, my good portion. You mix it in with some of you. That's not how it works. We have nothing good to offer God. What God does is he takes all of him and he puts it in us. So verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. So every person who genuinely loves Jesus Christ is a person who longs for holiness and purity. They long to be clean. Every person here right now who genuinely loves Jesus Christ, they know that what sin does is pollutes our fountain and makes it disgusting. You go to get a drink of water and brown, gross, disgusting water comes out of the fountain. That is gross. No one wants to drink from that. That's what sin does to us. This is why David says, Lord, you must create in me a clean heart. Only God can create a clean heart. What's our job? We can't create it. We are to long for it and beg for it and ask for it. God created me a clean heart. Let's just get some right theology here as we go through this important point right here, okay? Some right theology is this. At the moment of our conversion, a genuine conversion in Jesus Christ, the penalty of our sin is removed. Our status before, again, God in the eternal court of judgment, we are innocent because of Jesus Christ. Anyone who's genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, born again of the Holy Spirit, have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you are forever innocent. The penalty has been removed, never to be applied again. However, from the moment again of our justification begins the battle against the power of sin in our lives. The penalty of sin has been removed at conversion, but now we start to struggle against the power of sin, seeking to weaken the power by the Holy Spirit and to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is called sanctification. But the battle of sanctification, even the sin, even though our status will never be changed, once truly saved, our status will always be a child of God, always be adopted to God's family. That will never change. However, sin can still clog his power again through our lives. And that's the desperate need of renewal. An illustration we've used in this church for many, many years, one that's very close to my heart too, is that whenever we see drains get clogged, so six people in our family, our drains get clogged from time to time. And if you go to try to unclog that drain, let's just be honest, it's pretty gross. Four kids, it's gross. It's all them, it's not Jill or I. But what's in that drain? What's in that drain? It's literally our DNA. It is gross, disgusting, black filth. Hair, blah, blah, blah. I won't strap it too much because we're all starting to feel sick. But it's gross, right? You go in there and you have to unclog that grime and disgusting filth to get the water flowing through again, those pipes. Again, so what do? You get a screwdriver and you get it. You're like, oh my goodness, that is, I remember the first time I showed my daughter Sadie, she's like, what? That was hilarious. Anyways, put it in, go in the garbage. Or maybe you get liquid Drano, some version of that, and you pour it down with great satisfaction. It goes to work. And then eventually you wait and you put the hot water down and it starts to go. And then the water starts to flow again. That is so wonderfully satisfying for me. I have metaphors in life that I just rejoice in that are all along this level of some kind or another. Dandelions is another one. It's just another metaphor of sin. I haven't brought that up in a few months. I'm due. Jesus, listen, Jesus wants his water to flow through our lives. In fact, look at what he says here in John chapter 7. Look at this. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit. Loved ones, look at this verse. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow a trickle. No. Out of his heart will flow a drop. Nope. Not even a light stream. Nope. Rivers. Whoever believes in me. So this isn't just for some kind of, you know, person that we hold up in some level. Every single believer in Jesus Christ, listen, you have been designed by the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Your life is meant to have rivers of living water flowing from God through your life out to others and impact and fruit for Jesus Christ. And this refers to the Holy Spirit of God. Rivers. Many of us, we are so content with a couple of drops or a trickle. Jesus wants to see rivers coming from our lives. Our faith needs to increase with the expectation of what God wants to do and can do. Listen, through us as born again and saved in Jesus Christ. Awesome, my faith goes up even saying that out loud right now. David knows that a clean heart invites the power of God from God through our lives as a blessing. A river is coming through our lives of fruitfulness for him. Please, Lord, renew me, create in me a clean heart. Fourthly, please, O Lord, cast me not away. Look at verse 10 again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So in verse 10, the word renew, renew's a beautiful word, man. Just love the word renew. It means in the Hebrew here to restore, to repair, to renovate, to reconstruct. Renew aright, a steadfast spirit. This idea is to be made like new, a restoration to a former state of something that has previously faded.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.